In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're looking at Paul dealing with some issues that people in the church were having, and there was a person who was going to law with his own brother. His brother and he were being at odds. And so he tells them, suffer the wrong because you secure your place in the kingdom that way. And then he begins to talk about who does and who does not belong in the kingdom of God. And that's where we pick it up in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, through Paul, you speak to us in the Holy Spirit, even now, in the words which we just looked at and heard are your words. May the words now that are spoken be your words. Heavenly Father, this message, though simple in its pretext and context, says so much to my heart. And I pray that our lives would be blessed for having heard it, and that we'd be challenged to look at ourselves in a new way and understand truly what it means to be obedient to the call on our lives. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that your word is always true and it's always yes to us. Thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us how to be free and not enslaved. Heavenly Father, to that end, and for the purposes that you have for us, if they be different or included, may the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. This passage, when I've heard it preached before, people cut it all up. They miss parts of it. They chew it up. They talk about how to judge one another with it. And it's not about that. Folks, it says clearly by the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we're not allowed to judge one another. So we can't judge one another. We can look at ourselves and let the Holy Spirit work on us and let Jesus work on us, but we're not allowed to judge somebody else because God is the one who works in their life for His purpose and His pleasure. But this is what this is talking about, and the verse that really jumped out at me was verse 12, where it said, Paul says, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And there's a reason he says that. And I'm going to get to that also through Luke 20 and what he's talking about. Now, what was going on is in this particular church, get this, they were having relationships amongst the members out of wedlock. As a matter of fact, one fellow was with his mother-in-law. Pretty crazy stuff going on, and they thought it was okay. And Paul said, I will not tell you that you're doing something that is ungodly, but that's terrible. And then he says, and we'll look at that when Alan Genevieve are here, that verse, what it says to do with a kind of person like that. But what we're looking at this morning is Paul says, although we've been free in Christ, it doesn't necessarily mean that certain things that we're free to do help us. As a matter of fact, some things, although we're free to do them, enslave us again and begin to run our lives. We can be free from a lot of different things, and Christ can free us from sinful patterns and behaviors, but if we bring ourselves back into a relationship with something or someone that's going to destroy us, we're brought back under their power. We become enslaved to them. Paul says, I refuse to be brought under the power of any, and of course, except Jesus Christ. You do know that when you agree with someone or something, you are in union with it. Its character, its nature, or theirs becomes a part of your becoming, your makeup, if you will. Your becoming of who you are. If I'm in a relationship with someone, that person's personality now is intermingled with mine. You ever wonder why folks who are married start looking the same? It's not a bad thing. And the reason they do is because they laugh and they smile pretty much at the same thing. So their facial lines start to look the same. They do. I don't mean you start growing hair like that. But your face starts to look similar because you laugh at the same things. If you've been a long time together, you laugh and cry together, and your face reflects that. You're connected. That's a two becoming one type thing. And you'll see that. I've seen folks didn't look anything alike when they got married. Many years later, I go, I don't know how y'all look the same now, but you do. It just works that way. And it's a part of what is inside being reflected on the outside. And what happens is in any relationship that you encounter, you become a part of that relationship and you're under the power of that relationship, whatever it is with. Now, as you know, when I was working with those in addiction, they came under the power of what was influencing them when they used it. But if they didn't use it, it didn't control them. If they were out of relationship with it, they didn't have it. The saying is, one is too many, and 1,000 is not enough. That's what they say, and it's a fact. Because once they start in, the power is taken from them, and they're under subjection of that power. Paul says, if I knowingly know that something will distract me from what I'm called to do in Jesus Christ, I will keep myself from that. And that's what God told me when I was reading this, is that there's something that distracts you or keeps you from fulfilling the love of Christ in you, stay away. Don't involve yourself with it. Simple enough, right? And he goes through a lot of different things and says there are some people who are murderers and idolaters. And he says those folks will not enter and inherit the kingdom of God. He said, but some of us were. And it's true, before Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and the King of our lives, and our Lord, our King and Master, we're pretty lousy people. I was thinking about that, and I didn't like thinking about that, but I got to tell you, when God started working on me, He had a bunch of stuff to work on. I was thinking about writing a book of all the major changes God did in my life, and I said it would be a 3-volume set. So far. I'd hate to see it in 10, 20 more years, how many volumes it might be, but who would want to read that? All I'm saying is if God has come real to you and Jesus Christ is Lord of your life and the Holy Spirit indwells in you and you're becoming a more loving person, you're going to change. Some of the stuff you used to do doesn't help you love people. It doesn't help you be obedient to the call of Christ on your life. It won't do it. Now, the verse that folks take out of context is 19, where it says, don't you know your body is temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And therefore, since your body is temple of the Holy Ghost, you ought to not do bad stuff with it. That's what people say with that verse. And what Paul is saying there is that when you become one with God, why would you want to join yourself or be enslaved to something else which causes you to be distracted from the purpose God made you for? Makes sense, right? Now let me share with you how this became clear to me. As I was reading this, a conversation that Jesus had in Luke 20 jumped out at me. They came to him and asked him a question. And this question, I never even thought about why he said what he said or what it meant. But they asked Jesus this question. They said, tell us, by what authority do you do these things? Or who is he that gave you this authority? That's what they asked Jesus. Remember his answer? He said, I will ask you one thing and answer me, and then I will tell you. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And listen to Luke's explanation. They reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believe ye him not? But if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they believe that he was a prophet. And they answered and said, we cannot tell whence his authority was. And Jesus says, then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, I'm not trying to question the scribes and Pharisees here in this question. What I'm asking you, and what God asked me, is the question they asked Jesus. By whose authority do you do what you do with your every moment of your life? If you say it's of yours, then you're saying I don't belong to Jesus. I do what I want to do when I want to do it. It's my authority. Then Jesus isn't my Lord. Whose authority do you do the things in your life? I told my sister one time, and she thought I was nuts. Until she started thinking about it. I said, I pray over what pair of socks to wear. And she says, why? You got socks, it doesn't matter. And I said, I know, but one time I prayed. And I picked the certain socks and someone commented on my socks. And I brought them to the Lord. I said, if socks will do it, I'm praying over my socks. As mundane as that task is to reach, matter of fact, I prayed today. I don't wear gray socks with a black suit. Yes, I do. Did today. I don't know. I guess to make a point. Don't know why. But it helps make a point, I suppose. But what I'm trying to get at is that if God is your authority by which you do things, then if you're doing something that He doesn't approve of or hasn't blessed you to do or isn't your purpose, then why are you doing it? The scribes and Pharisees refused to answer Jesus because if they would have said that John the Baptist acted from heaven, you know what he was going to tell them is what they thought. Then why didn't you believe him? If Jesus Christ is who your authority is, then why do some of our actions look questionable sometimes? Why are we unloving in certain situations and unforgiving if we're doing it under the authority of Jesus Christ? Whose authority are we acting on? Whose authority do you act on? I got an email. I get an email every day, but from the same place. It's from a place that's a devotional. And I got one 2 days ago. And doggone if this thing didn't slap me in the face. Well, it didn't slap me in the face, but it felt like it. And I read it, and I said, well, that's good. That's real good. Basically what it said is, God has made you for a purpose, and if you're not fulfilling that purpose, you're wasting your life. And I said, well, you know, I get busy. Under whose authority am I busy? Who said I could do these busy things instead of what God says? Well, you know, I have to. It's my boss, it's my job, or it's my look for a job, or, you know, it's my family. But whose authority is my chief authority who gives me the okay for my life? Who do I listen to? Your relationships will fall apart. Your families won't work if you have more than one authority. You know that, don't you? That's why Paul says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost belongs to God, so God is your authority when you're sanctified, justified, and redeemed. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to somebody, and He's the one who runs your life. To me, that says, who am I listening to? Who runs my life? I promise you that there are times in our lives for each of us when we do pretty much what we want to do. I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying, well, you know, yesterday I took a nap and I didn't ask God. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is in the majority of your time, is it spent seeking God's favor or is it spent seeking comfort and your own will? I'm not talking about necessarily what to eat. But if you have to get that specific, even down to your size, go ahead. But your authority runs your life. And I ask you that question, who is your authority? By what authority do you do what you do? You don't have to tell me, because you don't have to answer to me. You have to answer to the call of God on your life. And when we begin to love as Christ has loved us, we learn from Him, from Jesus, how to live. I'm not going to learn from my neighbor how to be socially acceptable if it's not correct with Christ. That's why Paul says, I can do anything, but I refuse to be brought under the power of something that isn't Christ. Does that make sense? Did it come across okay? Am I done? I feel like I'm done. I think I said what I was trying to say. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your Word is always true. And the authority that You have is supreme. Lord, when we come under Your authority, our lives make sense again. Sometimes it scares us because we don't know where You're taking us or what You're going to do with us. But Heavenly Father, we've learned to trust You more than we trust ourselves. Help us to be people of faith, acting on Your lead and only that. I need a song.
Okay. When they pass me not.
What number?
153.
153? I'd like us to sing for 153 and then we'll have our communion.